Today's scripture reading is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 4 to 17. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a message greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." One more time. "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." May the Lord bless the reading of the scripture.
Today we are very glad that we have Pastor Tim McCoy with us. Reverend Tim McCoy is the executive minister of our Baptist Convention, Canadian Baptist of Ontario and Quebec. And so he's like the head pastor of our Baptist Convention. So we are glad to, many of you may have heard Tim in speaking to the youth rally, like Blizzard, Avalanche, and so he's a very nice guy.
Thank you, Pastor Ming, very much. I am so grateful for the invitation to come and be with you and the great folks here at Brampton, and it is wonderful to be a part of this great big family. Thank you for your welcome this morning, and I've always, I have the chance, usually twice a month, to move around Ontario and Quebec and be a part of other congregations. And I am not always in churches on Sunday morning that are as healthy and as thriving and alive as your congregation, Pastor Ming. And I know that it's not just you, but that it's everyone. And I can certainly sense the Spirit of God here in a powerful way. From the way that I was greeted at the door by Lee this morning, I have also sensed a spirit of people helping one another, helping folks get from the car to the church, and I've seen a spirit of opportunity here in the way that your worship team led this morning. Thank you, Farrica, for Lee and everyone who's been a part of that. And so thank you for representing God in the best of ways. I am grateful to find churches who live into our identity as Christians here in the world. Before we dive into our scripture passage this morning, thank you, Sharon, for reading that. I wanted just to bring greetings to you today from the CBOQ. Some of you may have no idea what the CBOQ is. I know that you talk about it here sometimes, but the Canadian Baptist of Ontario and Quebec is a family of about 350 churches across Ontario and Quebec, and we have about 19 churches in English-speaking Quebec, and the rest are all here in Ontario. And so you are a part of something greater than yourselves, and that's what it's like to be a part of the family of God. And of course, because you're a part of that, you're a part of Canadian Baptist right across our country. And because you're a part of that, you're a part of the Baptist World Alliance that represents millions of Baptists around the world who are worshiping today in many places and in many tongues. And so it's good to be a part of a big family. And I wanted to express gratitude for your faithfulness to the partnership that we feel with you. Some of you may or may not know that Brampton Chinese Baptist Church supports the CBOQ with your money, and we are grateful for that. We couldn't do it without you, honestly. You've called us to care for pastors and leaders and to make sure that churches are moving toward health, and so we can't do that without your faithful contribution. So I want to express my gratitude to you for that. Secondly, you may or may not know that you share your people with us. We're grateful at the CBOQ for people who come from our local churches. So when I think about Brampton Chinese Baptist Church, I think about Christine Choi, who serves on our team at CBOQ in our accounting and finance department. She's a part of our team, and she represents you very well on our staff. Good morning, Christine. Christine and I see each other every morning about this time, don't we, at the office? I also think of Fiona and Conrad Kwok. You know those names very well. I also think of people that have come through this congregation who have served in one way or another in a leadership position with the CBOQ. Some of you, I know right now, Sharon is serving on our Financial Oversight Committee, and we have had people serve on committees for pastors or accreditation or finance or many different things. So thank you for the way that you share your people. And lastly, I want to express gratitude for how you pray for us. I know that you do, some of you more than others, but I'm grateful for your prayers. We live in a challenging day for churches in Canada, and without your prayers, I don't know that our team at CBOQ would have the energy, creativity, and joy that it takes to come inside some of our very difficult and challenged churches. And so thank you for the prayers that you have offered our way. Our hope is to return all of those things to you. And though, Ming, I didn't bring my checkbook this morning, we do want to give money back to Brampton. I don't know if you know that, but have you guys ever gotten a CBOQ grant here at Brampton Chinese? Do you know if over the years? When you were building, right. Yes, they loan the money for that. That's right. Well, we try to give away about $400,000 a year in ministry grants to churches like yours. So if any of you young social entrepreneurs see something happening in your community that you would like CBOQ support for, all you have to do is work through an application process, and we are really excited about giving money, your money, back to you to serve in the local community. Secondly, we try to give you your people back, well-equipped. Whenever our youth go to Blizzard and Avalanche, or whether you're a part of a pastor's conference or a training session, we hope that you're more ready to come back and serve in the local church. And lastly, every Wednesday morning, and Christine can attest to this, every Wednesday morning we gather around the boardroom table and pray for 10 of our churches. Most often we've sent out an email earlier in the week, and those churches, Pastor Ming would get this email on a Monday, and on Wednesday we pray for every request that Pastor Ming sends back to us about what's happening at Brampton Chinese. So we are thankful for the chance to walk together. It's about relationship, isn't it, and moving together. So thank you for the partnership that we feel. Well, Pastor Ming told you that I grew up in youth ministry, and so I'm going to revert back to being a youth pastor just for a moment to make sure that you're awake. I need you to repeat something after me. Would you be willing to do that? Let's try that. I don't know what I would do if you said no, but we'll try this anyway, all right? Say this with me. I believe the Bible. Maybe with a little more enthusiasm than that. I know that you believe the Bible. Let's try that again. I believe the Bible.
I believe the Bible.
It is the Word of God.
It is the Word of
And every word of God is true. And where what the Bible says is different from my life, I will change through the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. You did it. I hope that you will hear those words as we read one of the most powerful stories of God's word to us today. A story, an account of an experience in Scripture where Jesus did the unthinkable. And this morning, when we think about this, I want to invite you to consider yourself in this story. If you've heard the name before, Saint Ignatius of Loyola. Have you heard of that saint before? Saint Ignatius of Loyola was a gifted saint. And one of the gifts that saint left for us in Canada in 2017 was a method of studying Scripture. And in point three of a four-point method of studying Scripture, Ignatius challenges us Christians to enter the story, to place ourselves around whatever is happening in the story that we read in Scripture, and consider if we are a character in that story, or to consider if something is happening in our life today that immediately, maybe divinely, intersects with something that's happening in your life today. And so the goal of this exercise is for, as you remember the Scripture that Sharon read, and by the way, Raymond, is that Raymond? Raymond, thank you for reading this morning the passage from Ruth. They gave you some really tough names to read up there, didn't they? And you did a great job. Thank you for that. I think you have a future. So thank you for reading. But as you enter this story, if there is a way for you to connect with this and ask God to show you what it is that God is trying to say to you through this passage of Scripture. And so let's enter the story. Let me set the scene for a moment. Imagine what's taking place in this century and what is taking place over these 100 days around this particular passage is that the heat has been turned up on Jesus and the disciples. And it is clear that in the coming days that Jesus would probably lose any battle with the local governmental officials because of who Jesus is. And in this passage, Jesus and his disciples had found a way to escape for dinner. Everyone has to eat, don't we? And they found themselves in a room together. There's arguments about this being either an upper room or if it literally might have been a dugout basement that had been set up for a meal for these tenacious workers on behalf of the church, the early church. But whatever it was, there was a gathering of people in the room. And when people in this day gathered for meals, there were classes present in the room. There were those who had gathered to eat. There were those who had gathered to prepare the meal. There were those who were gathered to serve the meal. And then there were the basic servants. And in this particular room, we imagine, as the guests who were arriving to eat arrive, usually there would have been a servant at the door ready to wash their feet. Ready to wash their feet. It's clear in that day, as we've heard from Scripture this morning, that people moved about with sandal feet. People moved about wearing usually long tunics or robes with their legs bare and their feet bare, wearing sandals that probably look like Chacos or Tevas or some sandal that you wear to the beach in the summertime. And as you showed up with dirty feet, the servant would get busy washing the feet. And for some reason, this night, there was no servant who took responsibility for that act. At the same time, from a different perspective, if you were looking in on this room, there was an argument that had ensued among the disciples. Jesus must have arrived either a bit late or fashionably late. I don't know which one. But as Jesus arrived, we understand that he could have overheard an earlier argument between the disciples that went like this. Once Jesus is gone, if in fact he is no longer with us, who among us will be greatest? Do you remember that conversation among the disciples? They were having a bit of a tug of war as they looked around the room. And it happens in all our relationships, doesn't it? When there are issues around a leader, and a leader may be shifting into a different leadership capacity or leaving, people begin to scratch their head and wonder, well, who's going to lead once he or she is gone? And this happened to these folks. They were beginning to wonder, who among us is going to be the greatest, and who among us will lead this band of followers into giving away the message of hope that comes with Jesus Christ? And I wonder, like a good teacher overhearing this argument, if Jesus didn't begin to think, Scripture doesn't tell us, so this is my interpretation, I wonder if Jesus began to think, I've got an opportunity for a very good teachable moment tonight. And what took place next was something that culture nor our culture can understand or fathom. As people began to recline, we're told that when you ate in rooms like this in that day, there was no table. Remember all the paintings of the Last Supper with a table very nicely set and everybody seated on one side of it for the perspective of the artist and Jesus in the center? Well, I'm not sure that's always the case of every supper that Jesus and his disciples had. And if things were customary to this day at that dinner, all of the men at that time, all of the men who were there to eat would have been lying on the floor. I won't do it today, but would have been lying on the floor, reclining usually on their left elbow, heads toward the center, feet toward the walls, with the food in the middle. Sounds like a bunch of men, doesn't it, to do that? Lay on the floor, chin in your hand, and waiting for the food. And typically what would happen is the servant responsible for washing feet would move quietly around the circle and wash the feet of those who were there, almost in such a way that the people whose feet were getting washed could pay no attention to the person, the servant, washing their feet. So as they reclined, and as they discussed, and as they waited for their food, Jesus did something unbelievable. Jesus, who they were arguing was the greatest of them, who might be leaving, decided, I only have this opportunity to share what I know they need to hear before I go. In verse 4, it tells us, Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around his waist. I don't know about you, but when someone of authority steps down to doing something necessary that someone without authority usually does, I tend to sometimes feel a bit uncomfortable. I remember watching my high school principal. His name was Joe Hunt. I didn't call him Joe, I called him Mr. Hunt. He demanded respect. He was about 6'8", and he moved around the campus with power and authority. And I remember oftentimes being behind Mr. Hunt, going from his office to the cafeteria, and as we were walking along, Mr. Hunt, who always was dressed in a coat and tie, who always carried himself with power and authority, picked up every piece of trash between his office and the cafeteria. So many times I felt like I wished that I'd been in front of him to pick it up for him. And then many times I thought, well, we have janitors who do that. Why in the world would Mr. Hunt be picking up garbage between the office and the cafeteria? We'll come back to that. I think there's a lesson in it, maybe similar to the one that we've read today. Jesus got up from the table, took his outer garment off, put a towel around his waist, and began to wash the feet of the disciples around the room. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that must have been like?
if they believed about Jesus what we believe about Jesus, I feel like somebody should have got up and taken that towel and basin away from him and washed the feet of everyone there. And yet Jesus continued until he had washed everyone's feet around the table. And we've wondered before, what was happening in Jesus' mind as he did this act of service to his disciples? One thing we know, that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 7, Jesus recognized that the prophet had suggested that the Messiah would be cut off. And Jesus, understanding that he was the fulfillment of those prophecies from what is now our Old Testament, Jesus knew that his time was nearing the end. And in those last days, knew that if he didn't say all that he needed to say and all that he could say to his disciples, that they may not get the full measure of his teaching. And so Jesus, in this teachable moment, decided to craft an object lesson out of servanthood and wash their feet. And then you know the rest of the story. When he got to Peter, Peter did what? Peter refused. Jesus, you're not washing my feet. And then, of course, it didn't take long for Peter to be convinced. Okay, not my feet, but everything. I get it. I understand what you're doing. Just like Peter would do. Some of us are Peters, aren't we? Then he said, just wash all of me. And then this powerful part, I'm going to come back to what we want to take away from this, but the powerful part of this story is that Jesus said, I am your Lord and teacher. Do what I have done. He didn't even say, here, do what I've commanded to you. You see what I have done. Now go and do it also. And then what I love about this passage is nearing the end, all the way over in verse 17. Jesus says to them, if you know these things and do them, you will be blessed. You know what that word means translated? Blessed, translated, means transcendent happiness or joy. Isn't that what we long for? Don't we long? I don't know anyone that starts out their day that says, I can't wait to be sad today. No. We begin our journey most days thinking, what would make us happy? And we want to be a happy people. And there is a promise here from God, translated, that means, if you do the things that I've taught you to do by what I've done, you will be blessed, full of joy. And here's the lesson for us today from God's word. Can you enter the story for just a moment? Here's what happened. Jesus came in the room and did what no one else would do, all the way up in verse 4. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. It was something that needed to be done, and Jesus did it. In verse 5, Jesus did what no one else was doing. Jesus saw that something needed to be done and that no one was doing it, so he took it upon himself to do. The third thing here is that Jesus challenged the people in the room to follow his great example. And the last thing he said is, if you do it, you will be blessed. I wonder, Branton, today, I wonder if you could for a moment consider the answer to this question. Here's the question. Within a 15-kilometer radius of this room, what in our neighborhood, in our culture, in our country, needs to be done that no one else is doing? Don't answer. I believe that there is ministry, active ministry, toward marginalized or people who are not marginalized, that needs to take place that no one else is doing. And some of you are creative. Many of you know what needs to be happening in your community, what needs to be done that no one else is doing. And then, once you, individually or corporately, decide what it is that you need to do, Brampton Chinese Baptist, or maybe you individually, once you decide what you need to do, you probably should ask yourself the question, who's doing this well somewhere else that we could follow their example? And I've got a sense today that if God has placed something on your heart, whether it's sharing the good news of the gospel or doing something with your hands and your feet in this community, I believe that if you follow this nudge this morning from the Holy Spirit, that God would bring joy and transcendent blessing to your life. Do you believe that? I do. I believe that God is speaking to us when we listen about those things that bring us energy, passion, and joy. I'm overwhelmed these days by the millennial and the Generation Z generations. You all, some of you are here, are the most socially entrepreneurial generations that our world has ever seen. You are thinking of things multiplied exponentially that needs to be done. And those things, whatever it is, whether it is making a pair of shoes that can be sold in twos and one goes somewhere else in the world and you keep one like the Toms company once did, or whether or not it's you setting up. Ming, can I give you an idea? Not just you, but everyone. I tell this story about a friend that I know. He was a student in my youth group. His name was Dante. And I remember Dante really struggled because his dad was not a man of faith. And Dante had become sold out for Jesus. He became so overwhelmed with his faith, he came to me with his buddy Nathan and Hudson, and he said, "We've got to do something in this community." And I said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And he said, "I don't know, but I want to do it with my dad." So we were given this challenge of what do we do to get Dean, his dad, involved in something in the name of Christ for this community. And so we began to brainstorm. What does your dad love? Well, dad loves cars. He comes home from work. He was an executive with Burger King. That's a good dad to have, isn't it? He would come home from work and go right to the garage where he would work on his 1965 custom Mustang. And he would work there until the kids went to bed, and then he would get up and do the same thing the next day. And Dante said, "My dad loves cars." And I said, "Okay, if he loves cars and he's good at cars and repair, is there anything in this community that needs to be done?" So I sent the three boys off for another couple of weeks, and they came back with an idea. And they said, "We've counted 19 single moms in our church." "Okay, what does that have to do with cars?" I said. "We've counted 19 single moms in our church. And if there are 19 single moms here, there's probably triple that within the sort of a 10-mile radius of the church." And I said, "Probably you're right." And I said, "What does that have to do with cars?" "We've learned that single moms aren't always the best at changing their oil in their car on time." And I said, "I guess you could be right. Some of us guys don't do it either, so I get it." So Dante and his buddies started talking to Dante's dad, Dean, about doing a free oil change for single moms at their church once a month. And so I said, "Well, guys, that's going to take a lot of oil and some experts." So Dante asked his dad, Dean, to get one of his friends, and they set up a mechanic shop in the parking lot of our church, something that needed to be done that no one else was doing. And they brought together the people who knew what they were doing, his dad, and they began to change the oil. They put a sign up, and the first week they had 11 cars come through. You know, after about 3 years of doing this ministry, they had 44 cars a month come with single moms who could prove that they were single moms. That was the criteria. They would change the oil in their cars. And by the end of that 3 years, that ministry had spread. It wasn't just changing oil in cars. Now they had people that would sit with the children while the moms went away to get their nails done, just in the church fellowship hall. And as they sat and got their nails done, people would move around the room praying for the moms, that they would have all they needed and that they would be able to feel the power of God in their life. All because Dante wanted his dad to know who Christ was. In year two, it took 2 years, Dante's dad, Dean, became a Christian. And it was because that Dante realized that there was something that needed to be done that no one else was doing. He found some experts who knew how to change oil. And guess what? Dante and Dean, I've never seen a happier dad and son than the day that Dean got baptized in our church. And it's because God called someone like you or you to something greater than just coming to church and reading your Bible and praying every morning, that we are responsible for a people group around us. And that we, if we follow the lead of the Master, can live a life of transcendent religious joy as a result of following God's example. I don't know what it must have been like that night. I probably would have been like Peter, yanking at the towel and say, "Sit down, Jesus, you don't need to do this, I'll do it." And yet Jesus said, "No, just listen and watch carefully. And if you'll do this, the church will continue." How many years have you guys been around? This is 30 years, your anniversary. 30 years you've been here, Ming. I wonder if we think ahead 30 more years. I can't do my math, Sharon. What year is that? 20, 47, 37. What is it? 47. If we're still here at Brampton Chinese Baptist Church, is there anything that would be happening then that started because you had a vision for 15-kilometer radius around here about what needed to be done? So I challenge you today. You challenge me too. I need it. But I challenge you to consider, what is God saying that needs to be done that no one else is doing? Who's doing it well? An example of someone, you can follow their example. And then rest and know that you can be forever joyful here and in heaven as a result of God's pleasure at your obedience of serving the least of these in this community. Let's pray together. God, in the reading of this passage, I today even feel challenged to consider my own neighborhood and what needs to be done. I pray, O Lord, today that if you have planted any seed, whether it is a seed of evangelizing this community or a seed of starting a lawn mowing company for people who are ill, God, I don't know what it is that you're calling the people in this room to today. But we pray that you would fan the flame of their idea, and Lord, that it would be an idea from you, and that we could experience the joy that they will experience together when they are busy being about your work here on earth. We are so grateful for the example of your son Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for doing what no one else would do and showing us a true example of a humble, Christ-like servant leader. We love you and thank you in the strong name of Christ, and all God's children said together.
Please rise.
I'm going to read First John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Good Father.
good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.
Challenge. Actually, the last month in our English ministry meeting, we were thinking of something that we can do for our community. And this was, we have come across an idea, it's called free tutoring service for new immigrant families. And it's amazing. So I consider that as a confirmation. But the reason why I brought this up is we need help. We need people who have a university degree, which probably 80% of our church, our congregation have that. So God have given our church good potentials. We equipped to do that. We'll report to you what happened next year. Okay, let's receive our Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated.